This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two starts now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Monday. The day that they chose to memorialize Kobe and Gianna Bryant, and I would assume still everybody else that was on the helicopter was obviously focused on those two, but I was just telling Barry during the break, I mean, one of the video boards, on the center hung during the pause between speakers had the word forever, and they just kept putting things up before forever, like, you know, Mamba forever. 61 points in your final, or 60 points in your final game forever. Two free throws with a torn Achilles forever. When they hit daddy, husband, and that end of it, I mean, I don't know how there could be a dry eye in that building. Mm. And the fact that they got the greatest to go speak. Michael Jordan doesn't like to speak in public. Let me be very clear about that. Michael Jordan's about to take the podium. That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Speaking of that, I also wanted to ask you, because, Nick, I know this is going to be a tough one for you to answer, because I don't think you're a biology major by any stretch. But where were you when the United States won the Miracle on Ice in hockey?
I think that was the year I was born.
I was going to say, I don't know if you were even a twinkle in mom and dad's eye yet, but 40 years ago.
Damn.
Oh, so that was 86-ish then.
It was 80.
I thought it was 83 when I was born, but if you're saying 40 years ago...
ESPN ran a special last night, the 40th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. And I was like, oh my God. I was a little kid watching the Olympics with my parents. And I remembered that they were saying this is kind of a big deal, and I got all into it. But to think that that was 40 years ago?
That's crazy. Makes you feel old.
1980, man.
And now, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but they said it was the greatest single sports moment.
Biggest upset. One of the biggest upsets in sports history.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah. But, I mean, there were so many, and obviously because there's so many sports and so many memories, but that one right there, it's up there.
I was six, so it's not like it wasn't.
I was 15.
My first real sports memory. I was going to say 23.
Yeah, thanks.
Just getting out of college. My first real sports memory was about the same time, but I just don't remember that. My real, like, the first thing I remember about sports was the catch, no catch, Mike Renfro versus the Steelers back of the end zone.
Yeah.
I want to say that was 79 or 80, but that's the first thing I remember about sports. I just unfortunately don't remember it because I don't think I even watched it. But if I did, I didn't have a grasp on how big of a deal it was. But, I mean, I lived and died with the Houston Oilers even as a six-year-old, so that Mike Renfro no catch just devastated me.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know how I was going to go on. So
I mean, played the call, but I've never seen that. I wasn't obviously there to watch Miracle on Ice, but I played that call, and that kind of gives
Michaels,
me chills.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes. Legendary. Just like you said, not just the game itself is one of the greatest sporting events of all time, but the call became legendary. The players became legendary.
You say this a lot, and I was going to get your opinion on it. Do you think that was planned by Al Michaels, or was that in the moment? Because we talk about on big moments like that, you kind of want to have an idea of what you might say, but it was such a far-fetched thing to think that the USA was going to beat Russia. There's no way Al Michaels went into that hockey game thinking, if they win, this is what I'm going to say.
I'll tell you what happened.
Or do you think he did?
I'll tell you what happened. In my mind, just because of how broadcasters prep, I believe it happened between the second and third periods. I believe it was a one-goal game, and you could feel and it was an awesome – Jeremy Schapp hosted it last night, but they went through and watched the game again with the three biggest stars, Jim Craig, the goalie, Mark Johnson, who scored one of the goals that was huge in the Russian game, and then Mike Arruzzioni, the captain. And I think because everybody was expecting a huge blowout, because from a Russian perspective, I don't know if people really realize this, that they think is the greatest assembled talent in hockey in the history of the Olympics in Russia. And Russia was always legendary. So that was a mammoth upset from their point of view as well. But when I think between the second and third periods, he said, one, it's not a blowout, and two, it's a one-goal game. So then you start in your mind going,
what if they do this?
Exactly.
What am I going to say?
So that's the first question you ask yourself is, what if they do this? And then you start using the adjectives. And if it's a miracle, or if it's, you know, never been done before, but how do you, you know, make a synopsis of that in like short order? And I think he probably scripted something between the second and the third period. Like, if it does get to this point, I got to say something like this. And he's such a pro.
Yeah, of course.
Because the one thing that amazes me is when you get broadcasters, like we know Joe Buck does two sports. You can hate him or love him, but the fact that he does baseball and he does football is amazing. But for Al Michael to pick up, we just talked about learning rugby. But to say that Al Michael is so well-versed and everybody knows him from Sunday Night Football, but to say that he could go in and do a hockey game and know all the offsides and the penalties and all the other things that someone that broadcasts the NHL on a regular basis.
And it's not easy to call. It's similar to calling basketball because there's constant action. There's not a break where you can break down the plays. It's a lot of action in hockey. So not only do you have to know it, you have to be – you know, it's calling a different game than calling football. So I could see where it would be out of his wheelhouse. But also, you don't know. Maybe he grew up a hockey fan. If you grow up a hockey fan, you're going to know the rules just because you watch it so much.
And again, based on what, you know, the sports you're familiar with. But like Charlie used to do Dynamo games, and I never knew that he could do that. So, you know, again, based on if you know soccer, like, and you grew up on soccer, or you're just a fast study, which I would believe Charlie is, you could do something like that. But to see the versatility of broadcasters shows the true talent, whether you like them or not, in terms of how they treat your team or what they say.
I agree.
But I thought that was just amazing. And the fact that it's been 40 years, it just kind of took me back because I was like, man, I remember because Wisconsin hockey was big when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark Johnson was a Badger. And so for Mark Johnson to score the tying goal against the Russians, that was legendary in the state.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a big deal.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was different, but it was very cool. And unfortunately, the one thing that I always remember is Jim Craig, how he comes across. He's kind of that Scooter McGavern-ish, Billy Madison type thing, where when the cameras are on, he's everybody's favorite dude.
Yeah.
When they're not...
He's
man,
not that guy.
I'll tell you, Keenan and I were in Tahoe for that celebrity golf tournament. And Keenan hit a ball in the woods.
Keenan McCardo, by the way.
Keenan McCardo, right. I'll friend of the show.
I'll pick that up for you
later. Thank you. Okay. And, you know, all around great dude.
Yeah.
And I'm caddying for Keenan in the tournament. So we go get the ball. We find the ball. We found the marshal that was following our group to identify it. We played it. We get done, and to that point, people were pretty conversational. Jim Craig was in our group. I forget who the third celebrity was, but everybody was talking, having a good time, because they know they're not going to win it. Like, we knew the guys that were favored to win it that treat golf like...
Right. The John Smoltz and
Tony Romo's
of the world.
Yeah. Right? We get to the next hole, and the marshal has to pull Keenan and I aside and starts like drilling us about, did we touch the ball? Are we sure that we found it? And everything like that. And finally, Keenan's like, all right, man, I've had enough. What's going on?
And, I'm going to fight one of you hoes.
The football in him came out again. And I've only seen it a few times with him as long as I've known him.
He's a curious, like, because he's a calm dude.
Jim Craig thought you might have cheated. And he's like, what? And I was like, oh, my God. The rest of the round, there was no speaking. There was no more conversation, and there was no more joy in Mudville.
No. Nobody was nice anymore.
And I was like, Jim Craig, you probably not a good move.
I wouldn't want to make an enemy of Keenan. He's a nice dude, but I could see if he was... Pissed.
Yeah, you talk about some, and you were talking about the call too. And Nick, I don't know if we can just get down to the last like 30 seconds of the Olympic call. But when we talk about legendary calls, and obviously there's a ton of them from our lifetime that we remember from a broadcast.
Well, perspective. Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest ones is touchdown Roughnecks, right? That's a legendary
in the Granato household, yes. Yeah. Okay. But in sports,
all right,
there were some big ones. And again, whether you were alive, Nick, or not, the Al Michaels call at the end of this, and this wasn't even for the gold medal game. This is a semifinal game. Mm-hmm. But to beat the Russians, this is what it sounded like.
The Americans on top, 4-3. Long shot. Craig able to get a piece of it to sweep it away. 28 seconds. The crowd going insane. Karlamov shooting it into the American end again. Morrow is back there. Now Johnson. 19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. Bigalechinov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just just got chills.
Yeah,
again.
The chills. Oof. And the chicken so skin good. Got when you get for that. And I'll tell you this too: it was in Lake Placid, New York, where it happened. To have the home crowd and to hear the guys talk about it last night, and some of the intelligence. Herb Brooks has now passed away, the coach of the team. And if you've seen the movie Miracle, if you were not old enough to see the actual game itself, they said the intelligence of a coach that they even took for granted in terms of the Russians were not used to pulling the goalie, but they wanted to. But he intentionally had things that had the players do things to where they couldn't. Mm. And so they were forced to continue to play, even though they didn't want to do that, they knew there was a sense of urgency. And the way it all played out, and he promised that if they ever got to that moment, that he would not be a part of it because he didn't do what they did. And they showed him. He walked. He celebrated for a quick second. He walked into the tunnel, into the locker room, and let them do their thing.
Yeah.
But they also said they were down a goal going into the final minute. I mean, to the final period. So between, you know the coach normally gives a speech, like a Gipper-type rah-rah. Right. They said he said it twice. He said the same thing twice. He said, if you lose this game, it will sit on your conscience for the rest of your effing life. And everybody stopped and looked, and he goes, he came back. He was walking out. He came back. He goes, if you lose this game,
damn,
it will sit on your conscience for the rest of your effing life. And he walked out, and Aruzioni said, we would have knocked the door down in about 10 seconds. We wanted it so bad, and they got it. It was awesome. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
They played that movie over and over again last night. I mean,
yeah,
Miracle.
On ESPN. Yeah.
They're playing that movie a lot.
I still haven't seen it. I don't know.
I caught the tail end of it, too, so I haven't seen the full movie.
I kind of know how it ends. It's like watching a movie on the Bible. I kind of know how it goes. I know what's going to happen. I bet he comes back.
We got to go to break. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, almost to the midway point as we take you through a Monday in the big city. We were talking about Miracle on Ice and the 40th anniversary of the United States beating Russia. People forget that that wasn't the gold medal game. They then had to play the gold medal game where, again, they were losing.
Mm-hmm.
Finland had to come back and win that game, and they did. But another...
Yeah, that wasn't as big a deal. That one was called the Mech on Ice. Meh. After the Miracle, it was meh.
That was no big deal. Lucky you didn't trip on your own game.
That would have been
because that basically would it have been if you beat the Russians and then lost
and then lose.
Whew.
Yeah, that's
Boy,
true.
That might have been a little different story, and I don't think the movie would have ended the same way.
No, movie would have sucked a little bit more,
and we might not be talking about it.
Yeah, that's true.
What an awesome story. Speaking of what could be made into a movie, and also hockey. I don't know if you guys saw this with everything that was going on over the course of the weekend, but the Carolina Hurricanes were taking on the Maple Leafs. Unless you're Fred Fowler, you probably don't care, but. It was just a regular NHL game, except for the fact that both of the goalies for the Hurricanes got hurt within the first period and a half of the game. So you ask, what happens then if they only carry two on the roster? Well, in every city, there's like an emergency goalie.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times he's the minor league goalie that, you know, is also there at practices and whatever. Little different story here, and it's pretty awesome. 42-year-old Zamboni driver Dave Ayers came to the rescue after the Hurricanes lost both of their goalies. He came in late in the second period and immediately gave up two goals. The Hurricanes were winning at the time, and everybody was like, oh. And you can see it in the coach's eyes, like, this isn't going
to
be...
It's going to be 17
to nothing. It's
going to
get ugly, yeah.
Yeah.
Third period, stopped all eight of the shots that came his way. And the Hurricanes won 6-3.
It's pretty dope.
They made him player of the game.
Yep.
They're now flying him to Carolina so he can be honored by the franchise at a home game. And they're going to take care of him and make it a big deal. This dude was 42 years old. He was driving the Zamboni. He would occasionally go to practice to help the guys out.
He plays for the Maple Leafs AHL affiliate,
yep.
The Toronto Marlies.
Yep.
You can't even take anything serious if you're named after a dog in a movie.
Justin, okay. Awesome, awesome.
It really is a cool. And so he got to keep. So they said he got paid $500, which I'm like,
these players really be kicking not him some a coin. Lot.
I mean, that's not a whole lot when you consider it's an NHL game. But for you, if you're the backup goalie, he got $500 for the game. He was allowed to keep his game-worn jersey. Obviously, they made him the player of the night. But I like this quote because he said, obviously, that second period was a little shaky, but I told the boys in the dressing room, once we come out for the third, I'll be settled down and ready to win this one. How do you have that much confidence when you're talking about some of the best hockey players in the world and you're out there facing them? And having to stop their shots.
He said he's been in the building on the ice doing it a million times, but it was during practice with no one. He goes, put fans in there. It's a different story.
Yeah.
And then the thing was they allowed a camera in the dressing room when Canes coach Rob Brind'Amour came in after the game. And his speech was not Herb Brooks-ish, because although he did use the same kind of colorful language.
Mm-hmm.
But he basically said, this is why y'all play the game, because on any given night, something like this could effing happen. And it just effing happened. And he's like, this is a moment that you will take with you the rest of your lives. And it was all because of that guy. And when he pointed to him, they all just showered him with beer and water and everything like that. And he said,
it's so cool.
He didn't know he was going to take a shower before he got to the showers. But, dude, it's an amazing story.
It's so cool. I'm just like, this is so rare, because you're just talking about an everyday dude. I mean, you're just talking about, yeah, he plays. Yeah, he's the goalie for the AHL, but he drives a Zamboni. He's a maintenance guy for the arena. I mean, you're just literally talking about, this is movie stuff. If Hollywood was going to write a movie about just an average Joe that does something special in the NHL, it would probably go something like this, and you would be like, that never happens. I mean, that's what I was like. That's just, this is one of those things where you just go, that's just unrealistic. That only in Hollywood would that happen. Pretty cool.
And he
really
said he gave up the two goals, and the thing that settled him down was one of Carolina's players, Eric Haula, came up to him and just said to him, hey, man, just have fun. We don't care if you let 10 goals in. And he said that's what settled him down, and it was great. And then again, like when you say he should make a movie, he had an aspiring hockey career that was derailed by a kidney transplant in 2004.
Damn.
His mom, Mary, was his kidney donor. You're not telling me this isn't Hollywood?
Yeah, this dude's, he's going to be a millionaire now, because his story's going to get sold, and he's going to be a millionaire.
His last competitive action was an 8-game stint with the Norwood Vipers of the Allen Cup Hockey League.
I'm a big Norwood Vipers fan, so I remember that.
You have the t-shirt for Sunday night, I'm sure. He allowed 58 goals and had a .777 save percentage with an 0-8 record.
And then he goes in and wins an NHL game.
Unbelievable. That's the stuff, the Hollywood.
Unbelievable.
Loves.
Such a cool story.
Yeah, so very, very cool.
Hey, speaking of cool stories,
yes.
Harvey Weinstein found guilty. Good.
Yeah, not shocking.
That's official like today?
Yeah, they announced it 3 hours ago. Right? It was published on Fox News, but a bunch of other places have done it. But found guilty of third-degree rape and criminal sex act. Good.
I had no idea this was coming down today. I'm Googling this now.
Faces as many as 25 years in prison. Now, the one that would have got him life, they didn't find him guilty on. But he's still, I mean, obviously there's going to be appeals and everything, but good. He's going to spend a long time in jail, and he should. He deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely.
A complete a-hole.
You know that Walker is all in act.
Oh, just disgusting when I saw it. I was get over yourself.
The other day, there were some stairs or whatever, and you just saw one of the security guards just wisp it away, and he just grabbed the rail and went right down the stairs. I'm like, come on, man.
They should have just pushed his ass down the stairs.
Trying to play the sympathy cards a little late now.
I hope. I mean, I'm not this guy, but I kind of hope bad things happen to him in prison. Not death. I'm not going to wish death on anybody, but I hope bad things happen to him. I hope he gets what he gave.
Talk about the ultimate power trip.
Yeah.
Boy, he sure thought he had the whole world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. Also, the 40th anniversary for Miracle on Ice? Uh-huh. I did get a reminder on Facebook that it's also the 1 year anniversary of when I got my mower and my car stuck in my backyard. So we have that also going for us, which is
an iconic moment in Suspects history. Yes.
And that mower stayed there for weeks.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Can't make that mistake no more with a Honda, bro.
There was the Honda that got stuck.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
I thought it was the mower, too.
It was the mower. And then I remember I tried to pull the mower out with the Honda, buried the front end, and then I got my wife's car to pull the Honda out and almost got the wife's car stuck.
I thought it was Nora's car. I didn't think it was
No, it was my new Honda.
Car.
It was my brand new Honda. I bought it in October. This is February. And I was like, well, I'll just pull it out. Nope. The grass was so wet that when it's a front wheel drive. So when I went to back up, the wheels just dug two holes and sunk, and then it bottomed out. So there was no way I was getting it out. So then I got Nora's car and was like, well, I'll pull the Honda out with that. And it started sinking. I was like, all right, we're moving. We'll just leave all this here and move. Yeah, that's good times. So this is the thanks, Facebook. I really needed that reminder.
Well, we did.
Jerks.
Yeah. It makes us feel better about our day. We remember those with fond memories. By the way, if you care, aside from Altuve getting plunked, Stroh's 8-1 in the seventh.
A lot of cheating going on.
Altuve and Bregman both 1-for-2, both with doubles.
Yep.
So
Altuve got a ribby.
Yep. So it looks like, you know, for this, at least off to a good start. Get some of the vets some early action in the spring. So that's good news if you're an
Astros fan. I'll tell you the big thing I want to see this spring is just how McCullers is. That's it. The only time I'll be watching box scores and any kind of baseball would be just to see how's McCullers doing. Is he going to be healthy for this season?
Yeah, it's huge because of the fact that, too, your general manager, it took so long to get him in place that he really didn't focus on the needs of the team because in his mind he was still worried about Tampa Bay until he actually became the official general manager, and everything was then brought to the forefront with the stealing of signs and the cheating scandal that he didn't have a chance to be like any other general manager and address the starting pitching in the offseason.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to do anything going forward, but you're right. That's why McCullers is going to be so hyper important to whatever that team does or doesn't do going into the season. But we'll see how that all takes shape. All right, second half of the show coming up next. Plenty more to get to, and that can involve you. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Too much for me.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday. Nick coming back from Vegas and the fights. Barry coming off of his Sabercats tour. I don't know what you call it, but you made an appearance.
I feel like I'm getting to be a grumpy old man.
I don't feel like you're getting.
Well, I didn't need your... I've mentioned this, but lately, businesses have really been pissing me off.
Okay.
Like, I got...
Like local business, like or just in general,
even just in general, just the way that businesses treat consumers, and it shouldn't make me this mad, but I got furious at this company called Homage or whatever, HOMAGE. They have this NBA Jam shirt, right, and it had Olajuwon and Drexler on it, and I wanted to buy it because you know I wear a Houston themed shirt every Sunday on the show, and I thought, oh, well, this would be a cool one that I could wear, and I would wear it just around because it's a cool throwback. Mm-hmm. So I go to the site. I'm ready to buy the shirts. $35 for a T-shirt. I was like, all right, I'll do it. And then this little pop-up comes up. And it's like, hey, for 15% off your first order, just throw in your email address and we'll give you a code. I was like, I usually don't do that. I'm like, nah, I don't want to get the spam. But I was like, well, it's $35. Every penny helps. I can save $5. That's shipping, basically. So I enter my email address. And that's all it said. It didn't say... You know, it just said, enter it, you get 15% off. So I go to check out, and it's like, oh, no, you can't use that code on this shirt. I was like, you got to be bleeping me. You just suckered me out of my email address for nothing. So I got really pissed. I didn't buy the shirt. And then I sent a scathing email to their support. I guess they have, like, info@homage.com. And I was just like, y'all can kiss my ass. And I cursed them out and I told them how crappy they were, but I used some pretty foul language and there might have been a couple of F words in there. And just told them that if they ever email me, since I didn't actually do business with them, I'll file a complaint with the F. I mean, I went straight up old man yelling at a cloud, get off my lawn, angry. And they ended up emailing me back and they were like, well, we're sorry. We don't know what happened. I was like, oh, kiss my ass. You know exactly what you're doing. But then I thought, why do I get so worked up about stuff like that? Like, I shouldn't care that much. I should have just been like, ah. But I took the time to send an email. What a loser.
That's bad. And when they do those promo codes that are just whack. I know
that they don't do nothing.
Yeah, like you put in the promo code, you're supposed to get whatever it is, the 15% or the $20
right,
off.
Right.
And then it just doesn't do anything.
That's
to the price.
That's what happened.
So you put in a promo code too?
Yeah, because they said, put in your email, we'll give you a promo code, 15% off your first purchase.
Oh, I didn't know the
so
promo code.
So now I'm giving up my personal info to get this. Cause then I'm thinking, it's my fault. It should have been so cheap.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like, well, so I did it. And then that's when they were like, oh no, promo code doesn't work for this item. I was like, kiss.
That's the biggest problem I have is that they build it as an all site promo code and then they go, oh, sorry, all Nike stuff is excluded.
Boy.
Like, why don't you say that?
And then I get an email from TurboTax. Hey, Barry, guess what? TurboTax's prices are going up after February 29. So if you want this price, go do your taxes now. And I was like, no, you're not going to hold me hostage. I'll go to H&R Block and use their online tool, you a-holes.
The mascot still does your taxes?
Oh, I was so pissed. Yeah, okay.
I mean, now that the Rockets don't employ him anymore, I knew he had to find another career. I just didn't know he got into the tax.
But I was
business.
So pissed because I was like, no, you're not going to hold me hostage to rush and go file it on your terms, because you think I should say, first of all, why are you raising your prices? It's the same software I've been using for forever.
Another technique they do
so
is when
mad.
They make you go through the entire process. Make you go through the process of adding it to your cart, putting all your information or whatever the case may be. And then at the end, or even in any situation where you go through the entire process and then you realize at the very end that you're not going to get the discount. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You've gone through all the step-by-step, the steps that they ask you to. But you don't know till the very end. And then a lot of people, believe it or not, you're like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm this far.
Might as well.
Might as well.
You just give up.
Yeah.
The third one was, so I found another shirt I wanted to buy. I found a knockoff version of it, right? I was like, it was like stadiumfc.com or some weird. Don't go there. It was some weird. It's one of those ones. You ever been on a site? You get almost done. You're like, man, this is sketch. There's something wrong here. It shouldn't be this cheap. Like, I should know better, and then you just bail.
Then you didn't want to give up your personal information.
I filled out my name and address and email, and then was like, this is like half of what the other ones are, and I know there's licensing involved. I may never get this shirt, and so I bailed, right? 2 hours later, I get an email from that company. Hey, your stuff's still in the cart.
Yep.
I was like, oh, no, you did it. You sons
of
bitches.
They're good about that,
yeah. Oh, I was so mad.
And you thought your Forever 21 shirts were going away. You're going to have to buy that thing and find out that you got a small.
I don't know why it makes me so mad, but it sure does. Boy, I got pissed.
You know who else should be mad?
Who?
The San Francisco Giants and now the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Why?
Did you hear that Madison Bumgarner? Yes. Has used an alias.
He's a rodeo guy.
To compete in rodeos under the name of Mason Saunders. And he even won $26,560 in a team roping competition in December. And that after his playing days are over, he plans to pursue it further.
How do you not know that, though?
I mean,
isn't he well known enough where you're watching a rodeo and you're like, damn, that boy looked like Madison Bumgarner. And then you're like, hold on a minute. The way he threw that rope, that is, I know that motion anywhere.
Are we at the rugby game or are we at the rodeo?
I feel like this is how the rednecks would talk at a rodeo, right?
No, but he's big, too.
Thanks, though.
And he's hiding behind a beard. You can't hide behind a beard. You already have one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You shave for the rodeo? He says he's going to do this, but you know
what? I can see that. I mean,
you know what it brought
life
me back
after
to?
Rodeo.
The Jeff Kent thing. Remember when Jeff Kent was an Astro and he got hurt and he
washing his truck?
Yeah, exactly. But it turned out that he was like motocross motorcycle bike in it and wiped out. And those contracts, that's against all the that's a stipulation in the contract. You can't be doing that kind of stuff. That's crazy. Can you imagine if for some odd reason he fell off the horse or something?
Yeah, that would be bad. Because they can get hurt doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he says he's going to do, he's quite the roper. He's going to get back into it, but now after baseball is over. But I thought that was interesting. Everybody was losing their mind on that.
I mean, I wonder, did he just grow up like a rodeo guy and have to choose? Or you're like, baseball or rodeo? Which one obviously pays more?
Well, but I think like you were talking about with the rugby. I think if you grew up on a farm or you grew up in, you know, certain circumstances where you were doing that a lot and you enjoyed it, then it's in your blood.
I wonder how this got found out.
I don't know if he offered it up or someone dug it up.
If you're him, do you want to be offering it up? I'm sure there's a clause.
No, you don't want that out there.
I'm sure there's a clause, right?
Yeah, because I think as an organization, even though it's past tense, I think they could still bring it up and make it an issue if they wanted to.
Yeah.
File a grievance.
I Googled Mason Saunders rodeo video, and they're out there, but they're all exposing him as Madison Bumgarner. Mm-hmm. So. But I didn't watch the video to see, you know, see him doing his thing per se.
Yeah, that's crazy. I thought after the Jeff Kent thing, people would have at least learned their lesson.
I thought there would be clauses, yeah, where like you just can't do that.
Even in football, you remember they made Mariota, Marcus Mariota. He's from Hawaii.
Yeah,
huge can't surfer. Surf. Can't surf anymore.
Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, we'll see if he gets fined.
And the running back for the Niners. They made him stop as
also
well.
Also a surfer.
Yeah. So interesting there. Okay, so the clock is ticking, boys. The memorial is over at Staples Center.
It was over at 2:30?
According to my peeps, they're anticipating the arrival of P.J. Tucker, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden at right about game time. So they won't start, but they are right expected to play.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
That's what they are anticipating.
It's you. Inside scoop.
Dude, I'm trying to help the
people. Go on, scoop.
I ain't dropping names. I ain't dropping names. I'm dropping dimes that you people need. It's an assist during the course of your business day. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, please do. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through our number 2 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city. Big sports news of the day is obviously the memorial for Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna at Staples Center, which has concluded, and the many people that were there, including three Rockets, P.J. Tucker, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, they are going to try and hightail it back to be back in Houston for the game tonight between the Knicks and the Rockets at Toyota Center. Vanessa Bryant was there. She spoke. That was moving in itself. And now, also this in, she is going to sue the helicopter company based on the deaths of her husband and her daughter. So that was some of the news of the day. Also news of the day, Joe Burrow's hand size measures at 9 inches. And that was a big deal. Lance was getting heat over it. People were like,
because he didn't bring it up or what?
Just like trying to make it like a big deal and that it was pointed out. And then, you know, why are you bringing up things like this? And they're talking about grip. And Lance is just basically kind of pointing out people want to know everything about these quarterbacks. And then they're like, well, how does that compare? Well, Jared Goff's hand size is the same as Joe Burrow's, if you have to know. Unless they like Lance said, unless he has a history of fumbling a lot.
Yeah. Or the ball slips out of his hand a lot.
That's why when they just scrutinize and over-scrutinize everything, you know what the tape says. You know what their college careers say.
Didn't seem to be an issue.
And you'll have the workouts.
Yep.
But, man, sometimes some of this stuff, they go too far. But it is that time of year because now the combine is coming up in Indianapolis. Chase Young already said that he's not going to participate because he's not getting into all that. People know who he is, and he's going to be one of the top two picks in the draft. I think he feels like he's going to be all right.
I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, so we'll see how that plays out. And, of course, speaking of professional football, your Roughnecks got another win. This time on the road, they're undefeated.
Yeah. Super Bowl, baby.
You got the shirt on.
Yeah. thanks to your boy. I got to admit, Joel got the hookup on the Roughneck shirt because I couldn't buy a decent one online because they were all sold out. So Joel, you know, as we've said before, you pretty much know everybody.
I just made it happen for you, man.
So you did.
You wanted to put it on the
couple
show.
Couple texts so. And
got her done.
Went down and picked it up.
Thanks to my good friend Jay Lucas.
He's the mayor
at the Roughnecks.
Yep.
We've had Jay on the show before, so we appreciate that. But I'm glad that got done for you. But Granado's ecstatic. Everybody's happy.
It's cool. The fans are excited, and that's good with me. I'm fine with that. This is really cool that there's something to be excited about.
Yeah, without a question. And to get their first road win after two on the home field, that was also another big doing. But look, I mean, it couldn't go any better if you are a Houston football fan that was hoping that this you know, startup league was going to do well. The fact that Houston is the undefeated team leading the league, that they have candidates on, you know, on offense and defense for, you know, to be considered the best at what they do, especially with your quarterback and your wide receiver. I mean, PJ's doing some things, moving the football, and mm-hmm. his escapability mm-hmm. has people comparing him to Deshaun Watson. Could be a lot worse. You could be in one of those markets where your first-year team sucks.
And you fire your DC after one game.
Although they've bounced back. LA has bounced back. But, you know, Bob Stoops is trying to put like fires under his players' asses at halftime stuff. Dallas was supposed to be a favorite. They haven't looked like that.
No. Well, it's Dallas. You know, they have a history of losing. So.
And everybody said St. Louis.
Losers.
Well, guess what? Your Roughnecks beat St. Louis last week.
Damn right.
So regardless of how good they are, they weren't good enough to beat Houston. And so that's a good thing. Coming off the Bill O'Brien faux pas in the playoffs and everything that ended poorly for the Texans. It's good to see a
fun
story here in Houston.
Don't remind Texans fans about that.
But we were talking about it. I mean, when you think about the landscape for Houston right now,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's outside of Houston, everybody craps on Harden. Now everybody craps on the Texans and Bill O'Brien.
And
now everybody in baseball obviously craps on the Astros.
The whole world hates the Astros.
To have a feel-good story like this going on in Houston right now could be a lot worse. It's a breath of fresh air.
I agree.
And we're the home of the Roughnecks. That's not a bad deal.
No. We're the home of the... All right.
Well, you did it the first time.
Just give it up.
And you probably sat on it too long. So
did I? Well, that was... Really? Maybe I did that on purpose?
Yeah,
you
maybe.
Go
maybe
figure.
Because Granado does it?
Hey, Usual Suspects. I just had to send this text to agree with Barry about the Sabercats. Huh? Saturday was my first experience at the stadium, and we loved it. Very fan-friendly, and my son got a ton of autographs. Thanks for your take. That was from Greg.
No one argued here.
Oh, I'm just saying he was agreeing that he's backing up what I was saying about go to a Sabercats game. It's fun.
I didn't need the human horn there. Huh? I mean, we didn't disagree with you.
We're going to fight. I feel like there's an hour and 10 minutes left for you and me to go.
That's fine.
Hey, real quick, though. We're not too far removed from the the Kobe Memorial.
Sure. Yeah.
And I just want to play one clip of Shaq because he was talking about approaching him about not passing the ball enough.
Okay.
And I just thought it was funny.
I said, Kobe, there's no I in team. And Kobe said, I know, but there's an in me in that motherfucker.
I just think that's fantastic, man.
Yeah.
It was cool. I didn't hear Michael Jordan's speech, but everybody said it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait to catch up on it when I get home because I called Lisa in the first break of the show just to ask her to hit, you know, to tape as much of it as she could. And I hope that this is one of those instances where ESPN reruns this thing, whether it be on the overnight so you can get the whole thing because it was too late to get Vanessa. But like I said, one thing to get Michael to speak, which he hates to do. The other thing is, and you mentioned it, the only other time that I think anybody's ever seen him cry was the Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Well, I mean, it's what he's known for.
Where everybody crying. Got... You know, the what do you call it? The Twitter gif around the
crazy.
World.
He's known for crying and then basketball.
The crying
That's
Jordan.
What he's known for.
But he cried throughout the entire speech. And I told Nick during a break, you realize he was a complete a-hole to Kobe for most of their existence. But he, you know, he did it to try and motivate him to be better.
Is that why, really?
I think he didn't, you know, he didn't want to even get into the discussion of passing the torch.
That's what I mean. Do you really think it was to motivate him to be better, or was he a dick about it? Because let's be real, he one didn't want, and two didn't think anybody could ever be better than him. I mean, you've met the man. Yeah. You know what his ego is like.
First of all, his competitive nature is
off the charts.
That's
what I mean. If you're as competitive as you have said he is, and everyone has said around the world that knows Jordan how competitive he was, he didn't want to pass the torch to Kobe. because he wanted to go down as the greatest of all time. So I would tend to think that Jordan maybe was nice to the kid, but as far as like wanting him to be the best one day, I would be surprised if that was the truth.
I would agree with you. I mean, I think it's also a little creepy if, you know, if you're the said greatest player to ever play the game and all of a sudden this new kid on the scene, it's one thing to just want to surpass your records. But he did everything, but he tried to talk like Michael, mm-hmm. walk like Michael, mm-hmm. emulate everything of Michael. And LeBron has said the same thing. But the thing that I thought was the classiest was because it always comes down to these days, who's the greatest of all time, Jordan or LeBron? And you remember when we were all doing this discussion on our show, and I said, I don't know how Kobe doesn't get more mentions, but the thing that when Kobe was asked about it, you couldn't handle it a classier way when he said, I think you should just have it done by decades, the player of each decade, because the style of play was different, the rules were different, you know, the competition was different. Like when you talk about Will Chamberlain, yeah, but he was basically, aside from Bill Russell, there was another 7-footer in sight. So mm-hmm. your numbers are going to be inflated, and you could, and there was only like 8 or 10 teams. So it's better to say who was the player that was the best during a decade, maybe. But he deflected it well because of the guy that had as much confidence as anybody, he could have just gone off on an ego trip and quoted his numbers and everything else. But instead, he basically just said, look, I mean, there's a lot of people that could be considered for that.
Mm-hmm.
So he handled that extremely well. As they memorialized him again today. So that was that. But I thought I'd throw that out there just because knowing Michael doesn't like to do, like he's the owner of the Hornets. And I know the guy that does their social media. Once a year, he will do a short interview basically with their web people.
Really?
Other than that, you know, we know how often Tillman talks. We knew how often Les Alexander used to talk. As the owner of the team, you would expect that. I mean, obviously you don't have to be Mark Cuban, but you're going to speak. But he rarely speaks. So for him to do that, especially, like I said, with the tumultuous relationship of Kobe always looking up to him and him kind of always crapping on Kobe from the standpoint of never giving him his due.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was talking about Hall of Fame and stuff like that. And he was talking about Steph, but would look past Kobe and it's like, what are you doing, man? I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. So we've got 1 hour to go on the show. So we still got plenty more to get to. Lots of things to uncover. If you want to join us, by the way, 713-780-3776 is our HRP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. And you can also hit us up on Twitter. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. You keep it tuned right here. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.